us and help me as I attempt to preach your word and teach this lesson, Father. I pray you bless the time. Thank you for those who will come out. And Lord, I pray you work in our church and make us a church, a group of believers who are soul winners. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, tonight is the very first lesson in our new series on Soul Winning 101. And we're planning on teaching a 7-week series or 7 lessons on the subject of soul winning. And, you know, tonight's lesson is probably the most important lesson in a sense, because tonight's lesson is really it's an introductory lesson. Tonight, we're going to lay the foundation as to why, biblically, we should have a soul winning ministry, why we do it the way we do it, and why we believe in it. Now, from here on, after tonight, it's going to be very much teaching you how to present the gospel and how to give the gospel. And the lessons from now are going to be broken up into two sections. We're going to be, the first section, we're going to be preaching on the subject for that night, for whatever, you know, we're dealing with on that evening. And then, and we'll preach that. So we'll have an idea. We'll have something, a subject, and we're going to attack that from the scriptures, prove that to you, teach it to you, get that in your heart. And then we're going to have the practical teaching, which is teaching you how to teach that to someone else, or how to explain that to somebody at their door, or someone you want to give the gospel to. Tonight, however, I want to teach you on the subject of the plan, God's plan for world evangelism, which is soul winning. God's plan for world evangelism. Now, we refer to people as soul winning. I grew up my whole life talking about soul winning and learning about soul winning. And sometimes, you know, I forget that people, you know, don't really understand those terminologies. And I've had people ask me, you know, what is soul winning? Or what are you talking about? And I want you to see there, if you look at Proverbs chapter number 11, if you look at verse 30, this is where we get the name for soul winning, or why we call it soul winning. Proverbs 11:30 says this: "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life," the Bible says this, "and he that winneth souls is wise." The Bible says that you are a wise man, you are a wise person, if you win souls, or if you're a soul winner. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to win souls, not for ourselves, not for our church, but for Christ. And we want to develop soul winners. And I want to just really lay a foundational type lesson and teach you exactly what soul winning is and why we do it and all of that. Point number one is this. I hope you would bring a pen and a piece of paper or a notepad or something and take notes and learn about this subject of soul winning. Point number one is this. What is soul winning? What is soul winning? Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Mark in the New Testament. Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. Matthew, and then you've got the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 16. Look at verse number 15. Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15. We find here in Mark 16:15 one of the references to the Great Commission that Jesus gave to the church. And it says, Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the Great Commission in a nutshell. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Soul winning is this. And I started writing this lesson, and I had like 700 verses. And I know that's pretty normal, but I thought, man, and I still got a lot of verses, but I really don't want to make it too complicated tonight. I don't want to go, and lose you, so I want to make it very, very simple. Soul winning is simply this: preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. The Bible says, Jesus Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, when we make that statement, soul winning is preaching the gospel, then we got to answer this question: what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, before we go there, let me just tell you this. The Bible tells us that the gospel is the good tidings, or the good news. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 61:1 uses the word good tidings. And in Luke 4:18, Jesus Christ quotes Isaiah 61:1, but he doesn't use the word good tidings, he uses the word gospel. The word, you know, the phrase good tidings and the word gospel are interchanged throughout Scripture. And the reason for that is because the gospel is the good tidings. You say, what are the good tidings? Good news. The gospel is the good news. Go there to 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15:1. The Bible says this. You say, well, what is the gospel exactly? Why, it's the good news. You say, well, why is it the good news? Well, let me explain that to you. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says this. Moreover, brethren, this is Paul speaking. Obviously, we understand he's speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So he says, I'm going to declare for you exactly what the gospel is. Now before he declares it, he gives a few statements here. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He says, which, talking about the gospel, which I preached unto you. So he says, I'm going to declare for you the gospel, the same gospel that I preached unto you, which also ye have received. He says, it's the same gospel that you received. And wherein ye stand. He says, the same gospel by which you stand. So he says, I'm going to declare to you the gospel I preach to you, the gospel you receive, the gospel that you take your stand on, look at verse 2, by which also ye are saved. So notice, the gospel brings salvation. Because he says, I'm going to declare to you the gospel. He says, the gospel I preach, the gospel you receive, the gospel you stand. He says, the gospel that got you saved, by which ye are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. Verse 3 says, for I deliver unto you, and notice he says, first of all, that which I also received, how that, notice the next few words, Christ died for our sins. You know, if you don't mind writing your Bible, you can. I wrote a number 1 right next to that. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Number 2, verse 4, and that He was buried. And, number 3, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul said, I declare the gospel unto you. He said, the gospel that I preach, the gospel you receive, the gospel that you stand, the gospel you got saved with. He said, here's the gospel. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and that He rose again the third day. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever notice that the books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are referred to as the Gospels? Why are they the Gospels? Because they give us the account of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. The death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the good news. Why is it the good news? Because it is through His death, burial, and resurrection that we can be saved. And the soul winning is preaching the gospel. You say, what's the gospel? The gospel is the story. It's the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you are going to be a soul winner, and you're going to do this thing that we call soul winning, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be preaching the gospel. Preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're doing. That's what soul winning is. I said, number 1, what is soul winning? It's preaching the gospel. Number 2, how do we go soul winning? How do we go soul winning? Go with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9 and look at verse number 1. Luke chapter number 9 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. The Lord Jesus Christ is a subject, and the Bible says in Luke 9:1, then He, talking about Jesus, called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And I want you to just look at verse 2. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, you got to understand this. God gave His disciples, the apostles, Jesus gave them certain powers to heal the sick. That's not you, okay? That's an apostle. So understand that. But He told all of us to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. And in verse 2 He says, He sent them to preach the kingdom of God. we said number one that soul winning is preaching the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, how do we go soul winning? We go soul winning. There's a couple ways we go soul winning. First of all, we do it through what I like to call church-wide soul winning. I've heard some call it corporate soul winning. I've heard others call it corporate evangelism. You say, what are you talking about? That is when we as a church gather together and as a church, as a corporate body, go out and preach the gospel and get people saved. Church-wide soul winning. That's our soul winning time, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. That's the ladies' soul winning Saturday at 1 p.m. That's the church-wide soul winning again at 3 p.m. on Saturday. That's, you know, any time that we gather together as a group and go out soul winning, knocking on doors, that's what we're doing. We're doing church-wide soul winning. Jesus did that. In Luke 1, 9 there, the Bible says He called His 12 disciples, He brought them together as a group, and then He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. Look at Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. We do soul winning through church-wide or corporate soul winning. As a church, we go out and preach the gospel. You say, well, how exactly do we do this church-wide soul winning? Well, number one, we do church-wide soul winning by canvassing and reaching a specific area. A church that is a soul-winning church ought to just cross out an area of their community, of a map there, and say, this is our area where we're going to reach the gospel, that we're going to reach the people with the gospel. That's very scriptural. Go to Acts 1:8. Look at what the Bible says. Here we find another example of the Great Commission. Acts 1:8 says this. It says, but ye, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples right before He ascends back to heaven. And He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me. Notice what He says. Ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem, that's where they lived, and in all Judea. We would maybe consider that like the state. So Jerusalem would be like Sacramento. Judea would be like California. And in Samaria, that would be like a neighboring state. So maybe like Nevada. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want you to notice, when the Lord Jesus Christ, right before He ascended to heaven, told His disciples, I want you to go out soul winning, He said, here's how you're going to do it. First of all, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me. And He says, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I want you to notice, He gave them geographic earth. He said, first reach Jerusalem, then reach Judea, then reach Samaria, then, you say, where will you stop? You don't stop, up to the uttermost parts of the earth. As a church with corporate soul winning or church-wide soul winning, we pick an area that we're going to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus exemplified this in His ministry. Jesus' ministry was confined to the nation of Israel. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. Like I said, tonight's more of an introductory, just establishing what soul winning is. Matthew chapter number 15, look at verse number 24. Matthew chapter number 15, look at verse 24. Jesus Christ said this. Matthew 15:24. The Bible says, but He answered and said, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ in His entire ministry never traveled outside of Israel? Now Paul did, and Peter did, and the apostles did. They went out into the uttermost parts of the earth. But the Lord Jesus Christ in His ministry, He carved out a certain section of the world, and He said, this is Mine. I'm claiming this. I'm reaching it. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, His ministry was to Israel. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you know what? You know, I think we get this idea that the Lord Jesus Christ spent His 3.5 year ministry just kind of walking around aimlessly. We know He didn't do that. You know, without an agenda, without a goal, without a plan. No, we kind of just think He kind of just walked around, just kind of healing people. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ actually had a purpose, and actually had a goal, and actually had a mission? And His goal was this. He wanted to preach the gospel in every city, every town, and every village in Israel. Before He died, before He was buried, before He resurrected, before He ascended up to heaven, He wanted to personally nation of Israel, personally go there and preach the gospel to every creature. That was his agenda. You say, I never knew that before. Let me show you a few references. Now you got to move quickly with me because we're going to look at a lot of them. Go to Matthew chapter number 9, look at verse 35. If you can't keep up, just listen up. I'm reading from the King James Bible, you can trust it. Matthew 9, 35, the Bible says this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Did you see that? Go to Mark chapter number 1, look at verse number 38. Mark chapter number 1, look at verse number 38. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." Did you see that? He said, this is why I came. I came to preach to the towns, to give them the gospel. This is, he said, that's my ministry. Go to Mark chapter number 6, look at verse 6. Mark chapter number 6, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief." Look at the last part of verse 6. "And he went round about the villages teaching." Did you see that? He went round about the villages teaching. Look at Mark chapter number 6, look at verse 56. Mark 6, 56 says, "And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that he might touch, if it were but the border of his garments, and as many as he touched were made whole." But I want you to see that verse 6. He went into villages and cities and countries. Go to Luke chapter number 8, verse 1. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 1. Luke 8:1 says this, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God." Luke 9:56. Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 56. The Bible says this, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village." Look at Luke chapter number 13, verse 22. Luke chapter number 13, verse number 22. Luke 13, 22 says this, "And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." And I can show you more passages, but I just want to make it clear. Jesus spent his ministry doing this, going from town to town, going from village to village, city to city, preaching the gospel. That's what he was doing. He was bringing the gospel to Israel. Now, obviously, Israel is a small country. So one man could have the goal of preaching in every town, city, and village in that nation in over a span of 3.5 years and be able to accomplish it. You couldn't do that in the United States of America. But you know, our church does have a vision of reaching this area with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we point out our map often. That map shows the goal that we've got, and we've got a goal of knocking on every door in the Natomas area, yes, in the Sacramento area, yes, but also our surrounding Judea and Samaria. We've got a goal of knocking on every door in Citrus Heights. We've got a goal of knocking on every door in Orangeville. We've got a goal of knocking on every door in Elk Grove. We've got a goal of knocking on every door in West Sac and in Fair Oaks and you know, and all the cities and the areas around us. We've got a goal of reaching them in the gospel. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. You know, all these liberals walk around saying, "What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do?" Jesus would go soul winning. That's what he'd do. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Because that's what he did. When he was here on earth, he spent his life preaching the gospel. That's why we do it. That's why we go out. We preach the gospel. We get people saved. We knock on doors. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. You say, "Well, how do we reach a specific area? Like Sacramento. Are we going to do it through billboards? Are we going to do it through mailings? Are we going to do it through telemarketing?" Now look, all of that is great. As far as marketing is concerned, if we could afford it, man, I'd put billboards all over this town. And you know, I'd do all of that. But that's not soul winning. The Bible gives us a very clear path as to how we're supposed to reach the country and the nation in our specific area. Go with me to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20, and look at verse number 20. Acts chapter number 20, and look at verse number 20. See, today, churches, quote unquote churches, have this idea that, well, we're gonna put our preaching on television and we're going to reach the world through putting our preaching on television. Well, here's the problem. Not everybody watches television. Or not everybody's watching the channel that you're putting your preaching on, that's for sure. Well, okay, well, we're going to put our preaching on the radio. Well, here's the problem. Not everybody's tuned in to that specific radio channel that you're listening, that you're going to put your preaching on. Well, we're going to, you know, put a billboard up, and we're going to, whatever. And look, hey, I would do that if I could do that, put a preaching on radio and all of that. Great. But that's not how we're going to reach the masses. You say, how are we going to reach it? Well, the beautiful thing about the Bible is that it has an answer for everything. Now, you may not like the answer, but it's there. And look at Acts chapter number 20, and look at verse number 20, Acts 20:20. This is often referred to as having Acts 20:20 vision. You gotta have. You say, I want a vision. Well, you gotta have 20/20 vision. What's 20/20 vision? Well, it's Acts 20:20. Look what it says. It says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. One of the greatest missionary who ever lived. And he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly. And I want you to notice what he says. And from house to house. Did you catch that? Paul said his ministry consisted of this. Preaching publicly. That's what we're doing now. And from house to house. Now look, today Christians and people look down on a church like this. Hey, you go out soul winning house to house? What are you? Some sort of a Mormon? Some sort of a Jehovah's Witness? Look, no. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. The Mormons didn't come up with it, my friend. The Jehovah's Witnesses didn't come up with it. It came straight out of the Bible. The Apostle Paul said, here's how I preach the gospel to every creature. He said, I went from house to house. See, here's the problem. Not everybody's watching the TV show you're putting your preaching on. Not everybody's listening to the radio show you're putting your radio on. Not everybody's getting the flyer that you're handing out. Not everybody's, you know, watching the reading the billboard that you put up. But you know what? Everybody lives somewhere. Did you know that? Everybody. And if we have a goal to knock on every door in Sacramento, we'll reach everyone. What about homeless people? We'll get them on the way. We'll see them, you know. When we're going out to the apartment complex, we see the homeless guy, we'll give him the gospel too. But the Bible says, Paul said, and we got to understand that our ministry mindset must come from the Scriptures. And our pattern must come from the Scripture. And Paul said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly from house to house. We do our soul winning, our corporate church-wide soul winning, by going out, the Bible says, into the highways and hedges, house to house, reaching the community with the gospel of Christ. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 42. Acts chapter number 5. Look at verse number 42. Acts chapter number 5. Look at verse number 42. The Bible says, Acts 5:42 says this. And that's... Oh, there it is. Acts 5:42 says, and daily in the temple... And look what it says. And in every house. Do you see that? And in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Our church-wide soul winning is accomplished by going house to house, daily in the temple, and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's biblical soul winning. Not only that, we go soul winning house to house, but we also go soul winning two by two. Two by two. Go to Luke chapter number 10. Look at verse 1. Luke chapter number 10. Look at verse 1. Do you remember how we recently saw in Luke 6 where Jesus called His disciples, His 12 disciples, and He sent them out? Do you remember we read that passage? Look at Luke chapter number 10. Later on in His ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ, His church has grown. And look at what it says. Luke 10:1 says this. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Do you see that? So He started with 12, but now He's got 70. He says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them, look what it says, two and two before His face in every city and place whither Himself would go. Do you see that? He said He sent them two and two. our biblical pattern for soul winning is this. We go house to house, we go two by two. Two and two. You say, why do you do two by two? Well, first of all, we do two by two because that's how Jesus did. But we also do two by two. Go with me to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. You got Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Look at verse number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Look at verse 9. The Bible says this. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. Do you see that? Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. Look at verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Do you see that? The Bible says two are better than one. And one of the reasons we go two by two is merely for this. There's safety in numbers. For protection. You know, I used to go out soul winning and I was really kind to people. And then I started going soul winning with Brother Vincent. Now I mouth off to everybody. Why? Because he's there. No, that's not why we're there. No, yesterday we were out soul winning and it seemed like everybody was just, I was offending everybody. I was like, man, you know. But no, we go two by two for protection. Not only that, we go two by two for fellowship. Not only that, we go two by two for training. You know, an established soul winner can take someone who's maybe is trying to learn and teach them how to be a soul winner. And you know, so we do that. Now look, it doesn't always work out that way. When we first started Berry Baptist Church, I spent hours upon hours upon hours soul winning by myself. Why? Because there's nobody else to go soul winning with. But if there's somebody available, we want to take you out. We want you to go. Why? Two by two. For training, for safety, for fellowship. And by the way, when we go out soul winning two by two, and let me just, you know, and we explain this to you when you go soul winning, but so you understand this. Because some people get scared. I don't want to go soul winning. Look, if you go soul winning and it's your first time soul winning, we're not going to make you talk at the door. We have what we call a silent partner. A silent partner is this. Silent. They just say, you go soul winning with me, look, I'll do all the talking. You just come with me and you're the silent partner. You keep your mouth quiet. You're there for encouragement. You can pray in your head. You know, you can pray quietly and silently. And while we're giving the gospel, that the person who would listen to it gets saved. You know, you can help out with distractions. Maybe, you know, if something's going on, you can kind of help with that or whatever. You know, you're there to help. But you don't have to talk. We're not going to force you to talk. You know, I want you to listen to somebody give the gospel and you watch people get saved and get saved and get saved and get saved. And after you watch it many, many, many times, you start thinking, man, I can do that. And even then, you're not going to go by yourself. I'm going to be there. You know, when someone's soul winning for a friend, I always tell people this. It's the first time I'm giving the gospel. I say, you go give the gospel till you don't know what else to say or where to go. And then you just look at me and I'll step right in wherever you took off. We're not going to leave you out hanging, you know. Just go out and preach the gospel now. And we're going to train you. And one of the reasons, you know, I know of churches that do that, and I don't agree with it. Here's why. I don't want you out there preaching something wrong. I'll make sure you got it. You understand it. And you're doing it correctly. We go out two by two. We go out house to house. The Mormons didn't come up with that. God came up with that. And it's a shame that there's cults out there that would take the plan of God and use it for their, you know, religious, you know, insanity, while Christians today refuse to do what God told us to do. Not only do we do soul winning in a corporate way, church-wide soul winning, but we also do soul winning in a personal way. You ought to be a personal soul winner. You study the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and you will find Him not only bringing the 12 disciples together and sending them out as church-wide corporate soul winning, you will not only find Him bringing the 70 disciples together and sending them out two by two as church-wide soul winning, you will also find the Lord Jesus Christ in His day-to-day life preaching the Gospel to people that come into His life at the well. Giving the gospel away. Just as he's meeting people, as he's talking to people, getting them saved, preaching the gospel. And that's what you ought to do. You ought to preach the gospel. Listen to me. You ought to learn to be able to give the gospel and present the gospel so that you can give the gospel to your family. So that you can give the gospel to your co-workers. So that you can give the gospel to your neighbors. So that you can give the gospel to your friends. But let me tell you something. You got to understand something and get this, okay? You will never, ever, ever, ever give the gospel to your family if you're not plugged in to church-wide soul winning. Period. Amen. And that's the honest truth. Because the only place you're going to learn to go soul winning is if somebody takes you. And guess what? We're not going to be with you, you know, with the neighbor, at the grocery store, at the, you know, on your break, at the job. The only way you will be a soul winner that's reaching people in your personal life is when you first become a soul winner that's plugged into a soul winning church. And you're going out with a group of people. And once you start learning that and going out, because let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said this, a prophet had no honor in his own country. And the people at the door are going to be a little more respectful to you than your family. Because they don't know which, you know, they don't know how much you know or how much you don't know. They're just going to be polite. And you're going to have the, and you're going to have someone there like me or whoever to be able to step in if you get kind of tangled or whatever. But your family, they're going to be attacking you and questioning you or whatever. So you got to get into corporate soul winning before you can do personal soul winning. That's just the truth. Not only that, but we believe in confrontational soul winning. Now don't let that word scare you. What we mean by confrontational soul winning, we don't mean, you know, argue with people. But we mean confronting people with the gospel, okay? There's this teaching out there called lifestyle evangelism. And people believe that if you live a good life and you live, you know, a Christian life and you just, you know, love everybody and care about people, then the unbelieving world is going to look at your life and they're going to fall on your knees, on their knees, and they're going to say, you know, what must I do to be saved? Let me tell you something, that is not going to happen. The pattern in Scripture for people getting saved is a person confronting another person with the gospel. Let me show you. Go with me to Acts chapter number 8. Look at verse number 26. Acts chapter number 8. Look at verse number 26. Now, God, in the book of Acts, the church is very young at this point in its history. And God is still very much controlling and guiding it. They don't have the entire Bible, and they don't have all that. But I want to show you some. Acts chapter number 8, look at verse number 26. The Bible says this, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." Philip was a deacon in the church there. And the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot," read Isaiah the prophet. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except a man should guide me? And desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth," do you see that? "Opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Bible says, go back to verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. God took the time to send an angel down to a man and said, Hey, Philip, go over there and preach the gospel to this Ethiopian eunuch. Look at Acts chapter number 9. Look at verse 10. Acts 9:10. Look what it says. Acts chapter number 9. Look at verse 10. Acts 9:10 is the story of when the Apostle Paul got saved. And the Bible says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I want you to see here that the Lord went to this man Ananias and he said, Hey, go preach the gospel to Paul, to Saul. Now keep in mind, Jesus Christ appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, knocked him off the horse, and said, Go back to Damascus and wait there. I'm going to send a soul winner for you. Look at Acts chapter number 10. Look at verse 19. Acts chapter number 10. Look at verse 19. Acts 10:19 says this. Says, while Peter thought on the vision, Peter was up on the roof, he fell into a trance, he saw a vision. So while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into the house and to hear words of thee. Say, Pastor Mendes, what is the point you're trying to make? I'm trying to make this point to you, okay? God sent an angel to tell Philip, go preach the gospel to the eunuch. The Lord Jesus Christ literally appeared to the apostle, or before he was the apostle Paul, but to Saul on the road up to Damascus, threw him off the horse, said, go away and I'm going to send a soul winner. And then he appeared to Ananias in a vision and said, hey, go talk to Saul, he needs to get saved. God sent an angel to Cornelius and said, hey, go get Peter, he'll get you saved. Now, I got to ask this question. Why didn't the angel preach the gospel to Cornelius? Why didn't Jesus Christ, when he appeared to Paul, to Saul, preach the gospel to Saul? Why didn't the angel, instead of going to Philip, just go to the eunuch and preach the gospel to him? Here's why. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for a man, a soul winner, to go out and preach the gospel. God could have sent an angel. God could have appeared to them. God could have done whatever he wanted. But he said, hey, Peter, I want you to go give the gospel to Cornelius. Hey, Ananias, go give the gospel to Saul. Hey, Philip, go preach to the eunuch. Why? Because God works through men. Through soul winning. Confrontational soul winning. Where people go and give the gospel to people. Amen. Where a person goes to give the gospel to a person. And by the way, let me tell you this. Soul winning is not passing out tracts. I talked to people recently and told me, my church goes out soul winning. And then I ask them about their soul winning. And it turns out they're just going out passing out a bunch of flyers in a park somewhere. Let me tell you something. That's not soul winning. Passing out flyers is not soul winning. Putting out, you know, passing out Johns and Romans is not soul winning. Go back there to Acts chapter number 8. Let me explain something to you. Look at verse number 29. Acts chapter number 8, verse 29. The Bible says, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. The eunuch was reading the Bible. He was reading the book of Isaiah. And said, this is the question that Philip is asking the eunuch. He asked him, Understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, How can I except a man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Do you see that? I'm not going to take the time to prove it to you because we just recently preached a whole sermon on that when we were talking about Bible reading. But you know that you can give an unsaved person a John and Romans all you want and they can read it 100 times and they're not getting saved, my friend. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things, period. And I've proven that from the Bible. The only way that someone's going to get saved is if somebody opens their mouth and preaches the gospel to them. He asked him, he said, the man was reading the Bible and he said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, How can I? Except a man should guide me. And look at verse, skip down to verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. You see that? Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Do you see that? How did the eunuch get saved? Did he get saved by reading the Bible? No, he got saved when somebody opened their mouth and preached the gospel to them. And you know, let me just answer this question right now, because somebody's going to ask me about this. I found this. Usually when people say to me, and when someone's really saved, and they say to me, I got saved reading the Bible, you dig a little further and you find out, you know, I always ask this. So the first time you ever heard about Jesus Christ was by you reading the Bible on your own? And then they'll say something like, well, actually, my grandmother, you know, she gave me the gospel when I was 5. But I got saved. Well, no, you got saved because your grandmother preached the gospel to you. The only reason that made sense to you when you read it is because somebody preached it to you. Does that make sense? The only way people get saved is by someone preaching the gospel to them. Unsaved people will not understand this book. The only reason you understand this book is because the Holy Spirit of God that's living inside of you teaches you. And the only way you got the Holy Spirit is if you're saved. You get saved, you know, it's confrontational. It's not passing out invitation. We're not, you know, don't get this idea that when we're out soul winning, we're spending our days out, you know, at Walmart passing out invitations to people and calling that soul winning. That may be marketing, that may be getting your name out there, but that is not soul winning. Soul winning is going to a person, opening your mouth, and preaching the gospel. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 19. Ephesians chapter number 6, look at verse number 19. The great apostle Paul said this. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 19. Paul said this, he said, and for me, he's putting in his prayer request. You know how we put in prayer requests on Wednesday night? Paul's putting in his prayer request. He said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. The word utterance is talking about making a sound with your voice. He says, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open, notice what it says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul, when he put in his prayer request, he said, hey, will you please pray that utterance may be given unto me, and that I may open my mouth boldly, that I may known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel? He said, if I'm going to show someone the mystery of the gospel, I'm going to do it by opening my mouth and preaching the gospel. That's soul winning. Soul winning is not walking up to somebody and giving them a tract. Soul winning is not walking up to somebody's door and putting a tract on their door. Soul winning is knocking on the door and talking to somebody and confronting them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Opening your mouth and preaching it to them. You say, who should go soul winning? Well, I'm not going to take the time to read it again, but we saw there in Acts 9 that Peter was asked to be a soul winner. Peter was in full-time ministry. He was an apostle. He was a pastor of a church. So, people in ministry should be soul winners. We saw there in Acts chapter number 8 that Philip was a soul winner. He was a deacon. Deacons should be soul winners. Not only that, but we saw Ananias, who was just a regular man in the church, be asked by God to go give the gospel to Saul. You know, wrap your mind around that. The great apostle Paul, the greatest missionary, preacher who probably ever lived, outside of Jesus Christ, who did the most work for the Lord Jesus Christ, was saved by just one regular guy named Ananias, who you probably have never even heard of. Think about, you know, we talk about the rewards that Paul's getting in heaven. Think about the rewards that Ananias is getting in heaven. So, well, Ananias wasn't in full-time ministry. Yeah, but he was just a soul winner. Not only that, go with me to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse 3. Sometimes we get this idea that only men should be soul winners. No, no, no. Women should be soul winning too. Philippians chapter number 4, look at verse 3. Look at what Paul said. He said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Look what he said. He said, help those women which labor with me in the Sunday school class. Is that what it says? Help those women which labored with me in the kitchen. Is that what it says? Now look, I'm all for laboring in the kitchen. Praise God for it. But that's not what he said. Help those women which labored with me in cleaning up for church. That's not what he said. He said, help those women which labored with me in the, what's it say? Gospel. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Paul was saying, hey, can you say thank you to those women? Those women are a bunch of soul winners. They labored and they worked with me in the gospel. You say, who should go soul winning? Well, pastors and people in full-time ministry should go soul winning. Who should go soul winning? Deacons should go soul winning. Who should go soul winning? Regular laymen church people should go to women. Who should go to women? Women should. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. Everyone should go to women. It's for all of us. It's a job for all of us. We're all supposed to go to women. And while you don't, Jesus Christ said this, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a job for everybody. We said number one, what is soul winning? Number two, how do we go soul winning? Number three, who should go soul winning? Number four, we're almost done here. Why? Why do we go soul winning? Well, go with me to Matthew chapter number 4. Look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 4, look at verse number 19. The lessons after this are going to be a little slower and they're going to be a little more teaching, I promise. But we got to lay this foundation. Matthew chapter number 4, look at verse number 19. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. Jesus Christ said this. And he saith unto them, look what he said. Famous statement by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men is a terminology or an analogy that the Lord Jesus Christ used for soul winning. And by the way, that's what we're doing when we're out soul winning. We're trying to catch men. We're trying to catch people. We're trying to give the gospel to people. But I want you to notice this. He said this. He said, follow me. Jesus Christ said this. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Do you see that? He said, if you follow me, he said, I'm not going to encourage you to be a fisher of men. I'm not going to try to get you to be a fisherman. He said, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. Now, the reverse is true. Don't tell me you're following Christ and not fishing for men. Because he said, if you're following me, I will make you a fisher of men. So you say, I'm a follower of Christ. And I got to ask this question. Are you a soul winner? You say, I've never got soul winning in my life. Then you're not following Christ. Because he said, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. So if you're not a fisher of men, you must not be following. And we get this idea in church that if I come to church on Sunday morning, and I sit down, and I put my offering in, and I sing the song, and I say, thank you, Pastor, for the sermon, and I walk away, I'm a follower of Christ. No, you're a church member. That's what you are. A follower of Christ is someone who's fishing for men. And if you're not fishing for men, then you're not following Christ. So why should I go soul winning? Because I want to follow Christ. Go with me real quickly to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. See, if you're following Christ, that means you're following in His footsteps. If you're following Christ, that means you're following in His pattern. If you're following Christ, that means you're following what He said. We ask the question, what would Jesus do? He'd go soul winning. We already talked about that. What did He spend His ministry on earth doing? He spent His ministry preaching the gospel. Look at Luke chapter number 19. Look at verse number 10. Look at what He said. This is what Jesus Christ said. Now look, I understand, you know, this is not the type of preaching that the average church is talking about. But Jesus Christ said this. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came. He said that His purpose to come was to seek and to save. That was His ministry. That was His goal. That was His point. And He said, I came to seek and to save. And if you're going to follow me, guess what you're going to do? Seek and save. Yes, sir. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to get people saved. Pastor Jimenez, I've never gone soul winning. Then I'm afraid to tell you, you're not following Christ. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to encourage you to be a follower of Christ. You say, how can I be a follower of Christ? Well, the first thing you got to do is become a fisher of men. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We want to be soul winners so we can follow Jesus Christ. But not only that, there's even a more important reason than that. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, look at verse number 3. The Bible says this. But if our gospel, what's the gospel? The message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says, but if our gospel be hid, notice what it says, it is hid to them that are lost. Why do we go soul winning? Here's why we go soul winning. Because if you hide your gospel, if you hide your message, if you hide that message that can bring salvation, The worst part of hiding your message is this: you're keeping it from the people who need it the most. You understand that? See, if you don't preach the gospel, you know that that's not affecting me, because I'm already saved. You can sit around and do whatever you want. I'm on my way to heaven. And if I don't preach the gospel, I may not be affecting you, because you're already saved. But grandma may not be saved. Aunt and uncle and neighbor and friend and co-worker. You understand that people on earth, they have eternal souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell. And if they're lost and they're on their way to hell, they need to hear the gospel. And you got the gospel and you're hiding it and you're keeping it from the guy who needs it the most. He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And the sad part is this: that someone would take the time to give you the gospel. Someone would have enough love and compassion to come to you. And yes, they might have been scared. And yes, they might have been afraid. And they might have thought that you would have thought they were weird. But they said, I love so-and-so so much. I don't care if they think I'm weird. I don't care if they think I'm a fanatic. I don't care if they think I'm insane. I love them so much, I'm going to give them the gospel. And then you accepted it. And then you take that and don't give it to anyone else. Talk about selfishness. Talk about immaturity. Talk about, you know, I'm scared. You ought to be scared that your friends are going to die and go to hell. That's what you should be scared about. Well, I'm nervous. I'd be nervous that they're not going to get saved. That's what I'd be nervous about. You say, Pastor Glenn, what are you trying to get me to do? I'm trying to get you to be a soul winner. I'm trying to get you to go preach the gospel. See, you can come to 7 weeks of Soul Winning 101. Let me tell you something. And please don't misunderstand this. I hope this doesn't sound arrogant, but let me tell you something right now. There is not a church in this area that can teach you about soul winning like this church can teach you about soul winning. Period. And I stand behind those words. And you give that to whatever pastor you want. I don't really care. Because the average pastor doesn't even go soul winning. The average pastor doesn't even know about it. Yesterday we were out soul winning. We knocked on the door. And this guy said, I'm a minister at so-and-so church. And I said, oh, really? If you die today, would you go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I think I'd go to heaven. Well, what are you trusting in to go to heaven? Well, I go to church. That's the minister. That's the guy leading. Soul winning is churches that are soul winning are very few and far between. We can teach you soul winning. And we can give you lessons. You can come to all 7 weeks and you can write down every single word and you can, you know, memorize all the verses and you can do everything. But it'll do zero for the cause of Christ if you never actually stand up and go. Do you notice that the commission started like this? Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. See, I can teach you how to give it. I can tell you all the cute illustrations. I can tell you you're going to take your cell phone and you're going to say this is a gift and you can do all that. And I can teach you all that. You're going to be like, wow, I'm a soul winner and I can get it all. But you never tell anybody, it doesn't do anybody anything. It doesn't do anyone anything to teach you to give the gospel so you can hide it. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. God's plan for soul winning, for world evangelism, is soul winning. See, you gotta understand the big picture here. God wants us to reach the world with the gospel. And He wants us to reach the world with the gospel one soul at a time by Christians just like you taking their King James Bible, going out and knocking on the door and presenting the gospel to the lost. That's His plan. As we end, let me give you some homework. I didn't know there was gonna be homework. There's homework. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. You know, I'll mark you down, but put it in your transcript. But let me give you some homework. Number one, go soul winning. Commit to going soul winning. At least during Soul Winning 101, why would you come to the Soul Winning series and not go soul winning? Go soul winning. If you've never gone soul winning, go soul winning. If you used to go soul winning and you stopped, go soul winning. If you go soul winning every week, go soul winning. Because that's the point. And let me tell you something. The people who go soul winning are going to get the most out of this series than anyone else. Because here's the thing. I'm going to spend time trying to explain to you how the whole thing works. And you're like not going to get it. You're going to be like, well, why would they do that? It's hard to understand the whole, you know, transaction, the spiritual transaction that goes there. But someone who's seen it play out in real life, when I explain it, they'll be like, oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've heard people ask that question. So go soul winning. Number one, go soul winning. Number two, we're going to ask you to memorize some scriptures. We're going to ask you to memorize two verses this week. You ready to write it down? Let me give you these verses. Romans chapter number 3 and verse 10. And you can actually go there if you like. Romans chapter number 3 and verse 10. It's easy. The verse is this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's easy, not hard. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The second verse for the week is Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 says this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here's your homework. Go soul winning. And memorize. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23. They're not hard. They're very simple. You work at it. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This was the introductory lesson. I'm just trying to lay the foundation of why we go soul winning, what the Bible teaches about soul winning, why you should go soul winning. But let me tell you something. We'll start teaching you, and we're going to teach you. I mean, we had 122 people saved this year. Churches 20 times our size are having 5 to 6 people saved a year. It's ridiculous. And you say, well, did those people really get saved? I don't know. Ask them. Most of the people that come to our church got saved through our soul winning. Most of the people that come to our church, the 15 people we got baptized, come here. We know what we're doing. We can teach you how to do it, but it's not going to do anybody any good if you don't do it. Do it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for church. And Lord, I ask that you'd please help us as we endeavor to learn how to give the gospel. Be with the people. Help them to memorize the scriptures. Help them to get out soul winning. And help them to be able to win souls for you. And to be great soul winners and get rewards in heaven because of their work. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.